Mawolde crosses the finish line. John Stephen Akwari of Tanzania approaches the stadium, the last man to complete the journey. A voice calls from within to go on, and so he goes on. Afterwards, it was written, "Today we have seen a young African runner who symbolizes the finest in the human spirit. A performance that gives true dignity to sport. A performance that lifts sport out of the category of grown men playing at games. A performance that gives meaning to the word courage. All honor to John Stephen Akwari of Tanzania." Perhaps the words of John Stephen Akwari epitomize all that is right in the human spirit. When asked why he did not quit, he said simply, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race."
How many of you remember that? I was too young to remember that. I was 2 years old in 1968. But I remember in 1972 seeing that at the Olympics on TV and being inspired by his desire to finish, his perseverance. Incredible, credible man. Credible, credible heart. And, you know, it's amazing. How many of you like running long distances? Okay, about two of you, three of you, four of you. How many of the four that raised their hands, how many of you like marathons? Okay, have you ever run in a marathon? How you laughing now, you're lying. But how many of you would like to run a marathon? My question is, why? Why would you want to run up? Yes? Yeah. See, I don't like the endorphins. My endorphins kick in around 100 meters. Then they say, that's it. So, what do you? Okay. Yeah. And you like that. You like that feeling. Pain. The endorphins kicking in and all that. You like that. Yeah, there's crazy people here. Yes. Used to like to run, okay. Cramps up.
But what I loved was just being able to go and overcome my own boundaries.
Yes.
You know, and like you said, the push beyond that. But there is something when you get to a point and you feel like you cannot do anymore, that break point, and you keep going.
Yeah.
It's like there's a freedom.
There's a freedom. Okay. Yeah, again, I'm still trapped. I've never felt that freedom. But I guess some people really enjoy that rush, pushing yourself beyond your limits. I think that's encouraging. I remember. How'd you feel after you finished the race? How'd you feel after the race? Felt good? Kind of like you feel like you accomplished something? Yeah. I'm trying to understand it, you know. I remember in the 90s, we ran a 5K. That's my marathon. And we ran a 5, and I shared this before, we ran a 5K in Fort Lauderdale, and we were doing it for our Hope, the Hope event and raising money for the poor. And so we started on the beach. And then it went back beyond some trees, and then it curled back around, and we came back and we finished. I thought, that's simple enough. Now, we had some world-class long-distance runners in that race. People that had, they were serious, serious runners. And so we took off. I was happy. Everybody's talking when you're taking off, you know. I was running. And so after a little while, I saw them come back. And so I'm running, and they're passing me. I said, oh, okay, shoot. It's right around the corner. You know, I'm jogging. I have my friends with me, and we're running, talking. And then we made that bend, and I looked, and I saw how long it was. And I said, I'm giving up. I'm quitting. But something inside said, you cannot quit. You cannot let these people see you walking on the side and old people passing you by. So I said, okay, I got to finish. I can't stop. But I was really, 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 really about to stop. And my brother Anthony Petty, he was in the Army. He used to do all these cadences or whatever. He said, let's go, AB. Come on now. I said, man, well, shut up, man. I'm tired. Come on, man. I'm okay. I'm going to kill you when it gets done. You know, I'm doing all his cadences. And finally, before I knew it, we had finished the race. And I wasn't thankful. I was hurting. Said, I've never run a 5K since then. I like to be quick and over. You know, we are in the middle of our Follow Me series. And if you're visiting for the first time or you haven't been here in a while, we're focusing on Follow Me, and the emphasis is me. It's Jesus. Who are we following? The who is much more important than the what, the how, the when, and the why. We start with the who, and when you grab the who and you grasp who we're following, then you'll know what to do. You'll know when to do it. You'll know how to do it because you're following Jesus. We talked about Jesus being the light of the world, this divine illumination. We talked about Jesus being our advocate, fighting for us, dying for us, speaking on our behalf, taking our place. It's the who we're following. Today we're really focusing on Jesus being the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the author and perfecter of this faith race. This faith race. There are times in life where we feel just like the runner that we saw that was running in the Olympics in 1968. Our faith fails us. We're barely moving on. And we need encouragement. We're going to talk about three things in this faith race. Encouragement, entanglement, and example. All starts with E, so it'd be easy to remember, right? Encouragement, entanglement, and example. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. Hebrews 12. And really, Hebrews 12 obviously is an extension. You have a therefore in verse 1. It's a continuation of Hebrews 11. When he talks about faith. It really is a faith race. It's a journey. This Christian life, following Jesus, it is a faith race. And we need encouragement. We need encouragement. Starting in verse 1, we'll read verses 1 through 3. The Hebrew writer says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the author, the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What an encouraging part of this letter, written to these Jewish Christians who were undergoing persecution. And really, in their heart of hearts, they wanted to go back to their traditions and customs. It was tough. It was a faith race. We think about this great cloud of witnesses. And I don't know about you, but I used to teach and preach about there being kind of an Olympic stadium and having these clouds of witnesses around cheering us on as we continue in this faith race. Have you ever thought about that? But really, there is no mention in Scripture where someone or people are up in heaven concerned about earth. It's more of, when he says this great cloud of witnesses, they are witnessing through their testimony and through their experiences, they are witnesses of great faith. They're witnessing, because of their lives, this great faith, this race of faith. Not someone that's looking down on us, but something that we, some people that we need to look to encourage us in our running of this race. And we have a great list, don't we? This race is serious. The runners are focused. It's not a sprint, amen? It's not when you get baptized and you're so excited and you're a young Christian and you just run out with great faith. No, you got to keep on going. You got to keep on persevering. It's a marathon. It's not even a middle race. It's a marathon. But these runners are encouraged to run with purpose, with vigor, with discipline, with focus. There are many metaphors in the Scriptures to encourage us to keep the faith. You think about putting on the armor of God, being a fighter, being a warrior. You think about being a good soldier, fighting. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but the powers in this dark world, the authorities in this world. Runners that go on to strict training. The Bible's full of metaphors to encourage us to keep the faith. Keep the faith. And we need all the encouragement we can get, right? The Hebrew writer encourages them to finish this faith race. And many of them faced serious trials. Serious trials. Trials that we're not familiar with. But it's encouraging in verse 1b, he says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. He didn't preach at him and say, you need to run that race. He said, let us, we're all in this together. We're running the same race. We're on this track of the world. And it's challenging. You know, he's encouraging both of those who are in the race and maybe want to begin the race to come on, let's run, but run with perseverance. He's attempting to encourage them to understand that this race is very unique. You know, the word race, the root is agona. It comes from the word agony. You know, I don't know about you, but when I became a Christian, I thought it was going to be, you know, just roses, right? It's going to be all nice. The pathway would be very clear. The sun would always be shining. I'll always hear the birds chirping. It would be just a wonderful experience. I didn't realize that I was entering a race. You don't enter a marathon like that. You go, it's going to be a great race the whole way through. No, you expect there to be cramping. You expect there to be challenging times when you want to quit. This is a race of agony, and it demands discipline. We need constant encouragement. I would not have finished that 5K without AP by my side. That's why we need the body of Christ. Really, independent Christians don't run for long. They don't run for long. And when I get independent, pulling away from God, pulling away from my wife, pulling away from brothers and sisters, I start cramping up spiritually. And it's hard to keep on running. You have to run with perseverance. You know that word perseverance, it means to remain under. To remain under. How many times in your life do you want to get out from under? Can I get out from under this trial? Can I scoot over and stop for a while and catch my breath, get off this track? Did you feel that this week? I did. Several times. And that's why the word of encouragement, remain under. Let us run with perseverance this race. And these great cloud of witnesses are example of the power of faith and the way that they ran this race. They ran with perseverance, with great faith. Look to them. Let's run, he's saying, with the same faith. Don't run by yourself. Run, I want to encourage you to run as Moses, Abraham, Paul, Peter, Joseph, and many others. Run like them. I want to encourage you. Look in chapter 11, verse 32. If you feel like you had a rough track week and you had a long time and a hard run, just read these verses with me for a minute. Hebrews 11, verse 32. And what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain even a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning, they were sawed in two, they were killed by the sword, they went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated, the world was not worthy of them, they wandered in the desert and the mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, this Messiah that we now see. Feel like you had a bad week? Try running in their race. Try going through some of these things. And let's face it, we're soft Americans for the most part. We complain about the littlest thing. And yet, no matter where we live, Haiti, here, the Middle East, doesn't matter. We still must run our race with perseverance and great faith. So this is for the Hebrews, the Jewish Christians, for their encouragement. Keep on running. This morning, if you need encouragement, keep on running with faith. Don't give up. Don't give up. The second E word is entanglement. Sometimes when you run, you should do yourself a favor. He says, in verse 1b, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. What hinders runners in races? What do you think? Yeah. All right, leg cramps. Okay, absolutely, yeah.
Wrong kind of diet.
Wrong kind of diet? Okay, absolutely, yes. What's that? Inexperience? Absolutely, yes. Improper gear. Like, what would be improper gear? Like an overcoat? What do you think? Boots? Yeah, yeah. Dehydration? Yeah. Absolutely, like a squirrel. What's going on? Squirrel, you know. We can get so distracted. Yeah, somebody had a hand up over here. I'm sorry?
Weather.
Weather, the weather. Okay, all right, yeah. Heartbreak Hill. We got a lot of hills in Tallahassee. That's good, yeah.
The mind.
I mean, can we relate? I mean, these things apply physically, but they also apply spiritually. And what the Hebrew writer is saying, it's kind of like what you said over here. It's like you got to have the proper gear when you start running the race. Don't put on boots. Put on those light track shoes. Don't have an overcoat. Have just like a sliver of a shirt. Have something to wear down there. But don't wear jeans. And please don't be baggy. Let's trim up. If we want to run, you have to have the proper gear. What was hindering these Jewish Christians in Palestine? What was hindering their race? You think about it. He says, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." You know, he doesn't say, and it's so funny, he says, "Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." So on one side, he's saying, throw off everything that hinders. And then on the other side, he says, and the sin that so easily entangles. So there are two things. One, the things that hinder, and the sin. What do you think he's expressing to them to throw off the, what was hindering these Jewish Christians, you think? Yeah. Okay. Okay, that's no fair because you come from a Jewish background. She knew, right? She knew, yeah, yeah. Hey, brother, how you doing, man? Welcome. Wow. See you, Dave. All right, congratulations. All right, awesome, awesome. 10 years. She endured. Yes, she persevered. That, can you come up and share how you did it? No. Okay, yeah, Dave. Religious tradition. You know what happens to me is when I'm put to the test, when there are things that concern me or scare me or overwhelm me, you know what my temptation is? To go back to my nature, to deal with things the way I know how to deal with them. He's saying here, don't do that. Don't go back to your festivals. Don't go back to the Sabbath. Don't go back to the rituals. Don't go back to the priests. Matter of fact, he says in Hebrews, the first few chapters, we have a better priest, a better sacrifice, a better Sabbath. He's encouraging them. They were getting killed for their faith. And he says, don't go back. Don't get entangled. So he says, the things that hinder. And the sin. Two separate things. I used to kind of join them together. Things that hinder and the sin. As if the sin was hindering. It does, but he's talking about something different. So we have our own character that hinders us. And we have the sin. The sin. Now, sin is a different story. At the heart of sin, you know what it is? At the heart of sin is unbelief. Unbelief. Is at the heart of sin. When we struggle with unbelief, we're struggling with that part that is missing the mark. It's that sinful nature in us. We don't want run well when we don't believe God. Sin is believing that we will get gratification in ways that God says we won't. Sin is believing that we will get gratification in ways that God says we won't. Let me give you some examples, or maybe you can give me some examples. What are some examples of the way that we think we can get gratification and God says you won't? Yes.
Money.
What about it? Huh? All right. Okay. So if I get $1 million, am I going to sin because I have $1 million? Is it sinful to have $1 million? How would you know? It's not sinful. It's not sinful to have $1 million. The sin in money is not money itself. It's the love of money. Putting money above God. Yes, that's an example. What else? Yeah. Sex outside of marriage. But wait a minute. I feel so gratified when I have sex outside of marriage. It feels so good. It must be right. God says, well, it is good and it is right in marriage. And to believe that takes great faith. To believe that as a college freshman takes great faith. To believe that, period, takes great faith. Takes great faith. And think about it. The antithesis is happening in our world. Our world is going in the opposite direction of God's will. And we justify, we go, wait a minute now. To be able to be married to somebody forever, for the rest of my life, I got to test it out. I got to make sure we're compatible. God says, trust me. Trust me. It's hard. It's hard to trust when somebody wrongs you and forgive them and drop the offense. Our nature says, wait a minute, we're going to hold on to it as long as we can, and we're not going to let it go. God says, well, I didn't do that with you. So why don't you let go? You're going back to your ways, and then because you go back to your ways, then what do? You grab a hold of sin. And you think it's gratifying. You think it's gratifying to gossip and bitterness, hold on to bitterness and not forgive. God says all it does is slow you down. It takes you out the race. It takes you out the race. So we have encouragement to run this race, and we have what entangles us as we run it. And if we are to run in this faith race, unbelief doesn't help us to run, and we got to deal with sin in our lives. So we have encouragement to run, we have the things that will, warnings of entanglement, and lastly, we have an example. And this is why I'm excited about our series, because we can look at who. And then as a result of who we look at, then what we do and how we do it and when we do it and where we do it will improve. Verse 2, fixing our eyes. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the author, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. Boy, do I need that. I need an example. You don't run a race by looking at your feet. You'll fall. How many of you, do we have any hurdlers in the room? We talked about long, what about hurdlers? We don't have a very athletic group in here, do we? You're a hurdler. Okay, now when you are.
He has jumped.
He has jumped. When you've seen him, you're a witness of that. Okay, all right, so when you hurdle this hurdle, do you look at the hurdle? Where are you supposed to look at? Okay, so when you approach the hurdle, you are to look beyond the hurdle, right? Okay. Okay, don't stare at it, but know where it is. So what happens if you stare at it and you look at the hurdle? Yeah, you'll be in the hurdle. Okay. All right. Thank you for that expertise. I didn't know. I'm not a hurdler. Like I said, I just run the 100. That's it. I don't want to jump over anything. I just want to run through it. That's it. Get to the finish. That's me. So many times we have obstacles, and what are we looking at? The obstacles. Instead of looking beyond the obstacle. Looking beyond the hurdle. Some of us are stuck even this morning because we're looking at the hurdle. That's all we see. That's all we talk about. That's all we worry about. And people are tired of hearing you talk about the hurdle. Look beyond it. And so you go, well, how? The way Jesus did. Again, if you focus on the who, you'll learn about how, you'll learn about when, you'll learn about why, and all that. You know, you look above the hurdle the same way Jesus, the author, the pioneer, and the finisher of our faith. You remember Jesus, remember the Bible in Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. And he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Remember what God said to Jesus. He said, this is my son whom I am well pleased. And you know why he was well pleased with Jesus? Because Jesus had faith. You cannot please God without believing and trusting in him. Jesus' faith was so strong. It was so strong. And it's such a great example. He looked over the hurdle of the cross, and what did he see? He never did see the cross. He never did see the flogging. He never did see the ridiculing. He never did see the pain. He knew it was going to happen, but he looked beyond that. Jesus in verse 3, well, actually 2b, for the joy set before him, he endured this hurdle, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus carries this faith to completion. He carried it perfectly. He is the model of faith. He looked beyond the cross, and you know what he saw? He saw the throne of God. He saw us. He saw the freedom in our lives. He saw more than just the pain and the agony. He saw the true finish line. That's how you run the faith race. You can't be focused on the hurdles. Consider him. Consider him. In verse 3. Consider him. Every day, and every moment of the day, we should be considering him. Not the what's, the why's, the how's, the when's. Consider him. If we're following him, we must consider him. When we go through challenging times, consider him. Consider him who endured such opposition. Why? So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. When we are weary, think of him. Consider him. When we find ourselves losing heart, consider Jesus. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
When you consider him, it keeps you running. It keeps you looking at the prize and not the price. Some of us talk about the price too much instead of thinking about the prize. I want to think about the prize. We need encouragement to run this race, all of us. Nobody in here doesn't need the encouragement, and it says daily. We need to understand the entanglements. They will come in the form of things that will hinder our belief and affect us, and unbelief is like cancer in this race of faith. It will stop you, it'll slow you down, it'll frustrate you. And we need an example. We have the one in Jesus. The greatest example we can ever hope for. We have the author and perfecter. He is the pioneer. He is the finisher. of this race. You know, I was inspired by the video. I'm more inspired by how Jesus finished. You need to play that in your head every day. As you get up and get your shoes on, get your track gear on, and run this race. We're going to close service in a different way. Something that's non-traditional. We're going to bring some jazz into place. So maybe some R&B. Don't get nervous. It's not a sin. But we're going to close by listening to a Sade song. And the lyrics are going to be up for us to view. And I want you to be encouraged by the lyrics. And sometimes, I like to spiritualize some lyrics and songs at times. And make it my own, make it spiritual. And so I hope you can convert that today as we close. The song is Nothing Can Come Between Us. And I want you to hear how it's all about faith. So let's go ahead and play this song as we close.